So we're about to embark upon a new sugya now, which is a critical sugya. It really combines together two different terms in the world of chulin, each one of them a world in and of itself. One is the word kavua, and one is the word taroves. So we have a lot to talk about, both about kavua and a lot to talk about taroves, and how these two very esoteric concepts merge and fuse together and create for us the background, really, for our next sugya. So our next sugya, notice we're trying to develop a pattern here. We don't have Gemaras to read. There's nothing, there's no Gemara. We're still on the same two words, Lifto Baruba. We didn't even get to the answer, the Gemara. That's the next sugya coming up. This is the third sugya on those two words. We have more sugyas than words. Right? So we had one with the sugya of Rov itself. Then we had Chayz of Aneyim, because the Rashi, that's what he decided to write on. And now we have Tosfos Kasha, which is also based on those words, Lifto Baruba. It set the stage, in a sense, for our next sugya. So we say, what our Gemara basically told us, the starting point is a Gevaldike principle called Vitl Berov. And you don't need me to tell you already for the 100,000th time that the source of Vitl Berov is Chumash, this is fashion. Around the Hattis. I want, guys, when you get to those words, stop looking, please. And just start dancing. You have a head for the dance on Shabbos. This is it. This is just, you can't get better than this. I can't. I have to tell you guys, the Inyan, the Inyan, Inyan. I have to tell you that I daven Shachris Thursday morning by the Kosel, and I was saying Karbanos, and I got to one Mishnah Nezim Akoyman, and I started to tear. What Mishnah was that? Hatayda ve'el nazir kadoshim kalim shchitas b'chol mokol mazar v'dam matan shtem atarish an ab nechol hamuram ahem kayaitze v'ahem. Did you hear that? Everybody said hamuram kayaitze v'ahem el nazir, the real thing. I was like ready to, you know, start cooking rubber shalas on the spot. It was just a few people looking, weren't sure why the tears were flowing at that moment, but okay, what I said. So we all know the starting point is Acharei Matzis. Nevertheless, the Gemara does tell us at the top of Kuf Amud Aleph and Sugya's up and coming that there are certain cases where Bittul Berov fails us. Now again, we don't know all the intricacies, we don't know the details of this yet, but we already know enough that the basic idea is when things are Dvarim Chashuvim, you can't say Bittul and Dvarim Chashuvim. Now again, what concepts of a Chashuv, a Dvarim Shuvim in Yina, Bari Echtichim, we had a lot to go in the next couple of sugyas to iron out some of the details, but the Ikaron, again, a Dvarim Chashuv, so Bittul just can't happen. You can't say the Parashim. But Rabbi Isai, there's a built-in problem in this sugya. The whole idea that sometimes the tarobis doesn't lend itself to bittul, that I can understand. I can accept that. Bittul is ichashivus, tabachosh vizchosh, I got that. So let's rephrase. Every tarobis that's not bittul because of some secondary tangential concern of the tabachosh of a barriers, with his cabbage, tabachaminian, whatever the concern may be, so let's not go down the path of bittul. Let's permit something based on another principle. You know what the other principle is? You follow Rav. Now, that sounds like a very circular idea. What do you mean you follow? You just got telling me, if you finished telling me that you don't follow Rav. No. I didn't say Bittul Berov, right? I said you follow Rav. Holchen achar Rav. Azlin and Basar Ruba. What do I mean? I mean the Gemara in the first Brach Masechet Chulin. But the Gemara tells us, how do you know that you follow a statistical Rav? I didn't say anything about Bittul. You know why? Because there's no Tarevus. Marshall, give me an example. Where do you follow a statistical row? Give me the best example possible of following a statistical row, but there are different kinds of statistics. There are Ruben the Isakamans, Ruben the Lysakamans, we spoke about this a little bit. Ruben the Isakaman means that it's not an esoteric statistical row, it's simply, you know how to count. I find a piece of meat on the floor, the good old piece of meat found on West Angle Avenue, and I start to add up in my mind, I start to count off a piece of paper. I got chickies, I got, what do I got? I got chopsticks, I got the humble toast, I got doggies, I got the yalla, I got the Schitzel plus. I got my places, okay? And I got the Caribbean place. That's the only reason why it's here. It should be. Otherwise, it won't be a latest of something. So I got 9 kosher stores, 1 trade store, find the piece of meat on the floor, I'm sure I eat it. Is that a tarevis? Where's the tarevis? What's about tarevis? The 9 stores are here. The 1 store is here. No one's mistaking the Caribbean store for Schnitzel Plus. We know it's different. There's only one piece of meat. Is that a taro? Is that chabit rebato? There's no bittul. There's no taro in this. Why is it mutter? Because you're allowed to follow right. That's called the Ruvi Yisikabad. And then that happens to also be a different. The Lace, I'm not even going to ask you right now. So Ruvi Yisikabad just means simply, when the stats are in your favor, when the number is a number game, and the numbers are in your favor, everything's good. Everything's okay, Dory. So wait a second. Let me see. I have 3 pieces of meat on the table. And I know for a fact 2 of them are kosher. And I know for a fact that 1 of them is treif. The problem is, bittul is going to fail me. Why is bittul going to fail me? Because it's a barrier, because it's a chetikulis kabein, it's a davashiva minyan. So I can't say bittul. So let's forget the tesrit for a second. Let's look at the sugya through the eyes of the rush. So you can say bittul. So by not being able to say bittul, what does that mean? What can you not do if bittul doesn't work for whatever reason? They're iced about it, therefore you can't do what? Therefore, what rule is undermined? What rule breaks down when there's no bittul? There's no what? There's no isinapakas out there. So that permitted me to eat all 3 pieces. Okay, Echmin Makabal, I can't eat all 3 pieces. But what should I be able to do? I should at least be able to do what? Take 1 piece at least. Why? Because the odds are that if I take that 1 piece, I'm probably taking a Dovra Mutar. And that's not the din. What does the Mishnah say? When Bittul breaks down, what does the Mishnah say? Kulan Asuros. The Mishnah says that if you have 1 gid, one gid of Nasha mixed it with 100 other gid, 1 chaticha rulis kavod of the veil mixed it with 100 other chatichas, Kulan Asuros. Vusva Kulan Asuros? It should be het to goma for me to take because of the principle of Hochan Acharayv. What do I need Bittul Batarayvus for? So the question is very, very sharp according to the Shittas HaRash. According to Shittas HaRash, there are really 2 different halachas taking place. There's 1 din of Hochan Acharayv, which is the numbers game, which is the statistics, and then there's a 2nd din of Bittul Barov. But every Bittul Barov should also be a numbers game. Licked in every Bittul Barov, it should be mutter at least to eat 1 of the pieces because the numbers are in your favor. And that's not the din. The Mishnah says, Kulan Asuros. Why is that so? Why isn't every bittul that fails us because of some technicality of the Bechashim, why can we at least fall back on a Chochan Acharayv? That's really the question that Tosfos already raises and asks you. Now, the answer is we know you can. It's a Mishnah you can. But conceptually, we cannot figure out one. So in order to answer this question, we have to go back to the drawing board and forget about the Sugya Bittul Barov for now. That's not really our sugya, because Bittul Barov is not going to help us. It's Dabar Chosh, not going to help us. Let's go back to the sugya of Hochan Acharayv. Let's go back to the Teisha Chanuyos. Learn Teisha Chanuyos, hopefully properly. Understand when Hochan Acharayv is valid, when it's an invalid approach. And if we understand some of the intricacies of when you can or cannot do Hochan Acharayv, then we may get some light at the end of the tunnel to answer this question. So that's our goal. It may take us about 4 days to answer this question, but that's what we're going to try to accomplish. That's what our agenda is for the next couple of days. Let's go back to the first case, the famous case of Teisha Chanuyos. Okay? So I got my 10 stores here, and I got the ball here. Okay, we'll make it very easy. Okay. All right? So I'm very full. I don't need 10 stores. 4 stores is good enough, all right? Then you have another store over here. Okay? What does this store say on it? What? I think something like more casual. Okay? I just remember the race it afterwards. What? Okay. Pig sign, right? International sign for a pig. Okay? So we have this store sells chazen. All right? Now, I find a piece of meat on the floor in the middle of the street. Okay? I'm walking down the street. And I find a piece of meat here. Ooh, by golly, what do I do? So I look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 to up. Baruch Hashem, Echaram Mahatis. Givaldic. Het de goma. Nobody that Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Gazinta, Het de goma in the Torah, Het de goma in the Rabban. However, comes that same Braisa of Teisha Chanuyos and has another case. What's the other case? One of the deepest, darkest secrets in Halacha. What's the other case? There's no piece of meat on the floor. That's not what's happening. What's happening is, there's a guy here, alright? and he has a big problem. You know what his problem is? The problem that plagues our society. He's not paying attention. Why is he not paying attention? Because he's on the what? He's on the phone. Okay? So he's on the phone, and he's in the middle of six texts and four emails and four conversations all rolling at the same time. Plus he's listening to his music. Plus he's got... And as this is going on, he remembers his wife is frantically texting him, pick up dinner, pick up dinner, pick up dinner. So he's going to pick up dinner. So not paying all attention, he walked into one of these stores and he walks out. Bought something, walks out. He's on his way going back to his car, and now he remembers, yeah, my wife told me about you. What did I buy? Did I go to Chickie's? Did I go to Dougie's? Did I go to the Caribbean store? Was I not paying careful attention? Did I not notice the music in the store? Maybe some of the kosher stores had similar music. Maybe that's why I didn't notice. Possible. Did I not notice that the clientele looked a little bit different than the standard Hasidic clientele that's on all the stores in Tina? What did I miss over here? I wasn't paying. See what happens? I wasn't paying attention. So wait! Wait! It's Parshas Mishpatim. Acharei Mahatas. And he remembers that he got smicha one time, so he knows. Zachariah, you follow right. Baruch Hashem for Rov. So what does the Bryce say about this fellow? He says, sorry, Charlie. He said, you can't rely on Rov. Why not? Because you are Mr. What? What do we call you? We point the finger and say to you, you are... What are you? Besides irresponsible. What are you? You are an example of what principle of halacha? Kavua. What happened over here is, unlike the first case, where the latest asafik has moved from the original makor, namely Hadavar, also Davar, mutter, and now the piece of meat has left its place, it has moved, and we are being done, in the first case we're being done on this piece of meat. Did this piece of meat emanate from a makom mutter or makom asar? Al zeh ne'amacharam mahatas. But in the second case, where the asar and the mutter have not moved, they haven't budged, they were stationary. You went to them, and the latest asafik is not what we call piresh, but rather the latest asafik is the makom hakavua, the issus mekavua mekaymai. Vechi hagavna is a gevalt chidush hatorah. That's not called roiv. Is there any iota of difference statistically between the two cases? What's the answer? All the statisticians, what's the answer? No. Absolutely zero and meaningless. Doesn't matter, the world is not just math. Since the first case, the issa was the latest asafik was pirish, al zeh ne'amar rov, when the latest asafik wasn't pirish, rather you went to the Baum Kavua, al zeh lo ne'amar rov. So it's not rov anymore. We cannot apply rov. If you can't apply rov, then what are the halachic numbers in front of you? If it's not a rov, so we call it a what? 50-50. It's a mechta mechta. No, it's not really 50-50, but halakha is 50-50. Now, what do you do when you have a 50-50? It's a safek, call a kavua, kemechta mechta dami. And what do you do when you have a safek? When you have an issa deraisa, what do you have to do? Sveka deraisa has to be lahachmir. And strangely enough, even according to the Shita Sarambam, who holds that sveka is a mutter bin a Torah. Remember, there's a big machlokes to Rambam and the Rashba. What's the din deraisa? If I find a piece of meat, it's a 50-50 chance that it's chazer or not. According to the Rambam, min haTorah you'll need Moshe Rabbeinu with sanctuary, give it to you for dinner. Because Sveika deraisa is the kula mid deraisa. The whole institution of Sveika is the chumra is only a chumra mid derabanan. The Rambam concedes that b'medvam amurim, that Sveika is a mutter min haTorah. That's if I just stop, I walk into my house and I find there's a piece of meat and I have no idea, 50-50 whether it's kosher trade. That's a subject that's mutter. But when you have what's called the issa kavua bim kaiba, you have an ichzuke sur, you have, I know that there's issur here, and I'm just not sure whether this is that issur or not. If I have two pieces of meat on the table, one I know is kosher, one I know is treif, min haTorah I cannot eat one of those two pieces. Even the Rambam would agree. That's called ikva isura. So whatever we know there's issur here, I'm just not sure which one it is. Even the Rambam concedes that's also min deraisa. So this is a disaster. This is a case of a suffix deraisa l'chumah l'chol harishanim. So under no circumstance can the person eat the meat on the level of deraisa. What was the difference between the two? Very, very esoteric. In one case, the Isser came to him, in a sense. In the other case, he went to the Isser. What's the source of this? The Dimin HaTayrat Gomer? What's the source? One of the most difficult, vaguest sources. What? Remember the phrase? The Orav Lo, the Kamalov, the guy throws a rock into a crowd, a Jew, a Goy, a Maisel, a Chayah, a Hokus, all of a sudden, the Gemara in the end of the first book, Subas, Shun, Mikan, the Kavua, the Dinder Aisa. So we paskin, Belishim Sofek, it's a funny thing to say about Kavua, Belishim Sofek, that Kavua is an Issa Goma Min HaTorah, it's a Din Goma Min HaTorah. Do we really truly understand it? No. Do we understand? Would we have ever said this on our own? Never in a million years. Kach nem halacha. That's the din. Kach nem halacha. Sina, this is the drasha, this is the din. Kach hazeh. What's the difference? I went to it, it came to me. That's just the way of the world. So, robe is great, only when it's piresh, not when it's kavua.
I understood you correctly, you said before, he was kavua. Isn't it the meat that's kavua in this case?
What do you mean, in the case where he was?
No, but he found the one that's in the street.
So there's no, that's not kavua.
No,
when he went into the store, so the stores are kavua v'komo. So the Isser and the Heter are kavua v'komo.
The store is a kavua, not the man.
So the man's a kavua, he's moving around. The store with the tray for food is a kavua v'komo.
The source is from Orlo or Kamo. How are those people kavua? Aren't those people like moving around and throwing
it? Those are the entrance. They're not moving. Right. I'm tossing a rock into a crowd. So those things are all kavua v'komo. So on Zen Nemimotayra that you don't say rov.
So if you find a piece on the street and it's not moving, why is that not kavua?
No, because it's already left the mokom where it was. It already was on. It moved from the suffix was nolad in the case, which is already the latest of suffix is something that's already nekom in a kavua. It's esoteric. I told you it's very esoteric. Okay? But these are the two different clones. So come all that we showed him, and I bothered with the following kasha. Come all that we showed him and say, wait a second. Hold the phone for a second. If the Torah is telling me that what Trump's role is kavua, how could there ever be an institution of what? Of Bittul Barov. We have heard about Bittul Barov once or twice this year, right? We've mentioned it once or twice. There's a principle called Bittul Barov. If you think about it long and hard enough, you'll realize that every Bittul Barov runs into a potential problem of kavua. Because just think about classic Chad B'Tre Bottle, three pieces of meat, the rice Chad B'Tre Bottle. I have three pieces of meat that are sitting, they all got mixed in together, they're sitting in a basket on the table. I come to the pieces of meat, and I want to eat one of those pieces of meat. Now those pieces of meat are what? Have they been Torish anywhere? They haven't gone anywhere. They're sitting in their place. Who's coming to them? I'm walking over to them. So, Frek, Old Shen Makasha, how could it be that when I'm walking over to the stores, we stop and say, forget Rove, that Alzelo Nembaterach Ram Mahatos, that's called Kol Kavuk Mechzemechzadomi. Every time Ravis runs that same problem of being called, in effect, a Kol Kavuk Mechzemechzadomi. Because when I'm walking over to the table, I'm walking over to the pot, take a piece of the food out, I am walking into something that, although there is statistically a Rove there, but halachically that's not called a Rove anymore, because so it should be like taking a piece of one kosher piece out of one trefah piece, which of course is not a rove, which would be a problem. This is not my kasha, this is all the Rishonim's kasha. So you can't lift the kasha, yeah.
In the case of you going to the meat, the suffix was already there before you got there. You just create the suffix.
So?
In the case where you're going, there's stores,
yeah.
There's no suffix of which.
Okay. This is the kasha's presented, okay? Why doesn't every bittul fail us because of kavua? So, the conventional answer to this question is a theme that appears in the Tosfos. I put a couple of these Tosfos on the cover stamp of the Tosfos in Zvachim, around the Tosfos, a little Tosfos in Psachim. I put a few Tosfos here and there, which basically say the same you say. What does Tosfos say? Kavua is an unbelievable chiddush. It's a lo yuman ki supar azah chiddush kavua. In a million years, I wouldn't have said it on my own. So, Eimon Rabba Chedushay, that Kavua only makes sense when all the conditions of Kavua are met. What are one of the conditions of Kavua? What's the classic Kavua? The 10 stores. The guy walks in, doesn't know which store he bought from. That's Kavua par excellence. What is the difference, the different characteristics between that case and the case of Bittul Barov? What's the difference? You have to think very, very conceptual. What's the difference between This case of stores, it is the latest of Suffolk, which one I went into, whereas over here I have a basket with three pieces of meat. And now I'm coming over to the basket to take one of the pieces. What's the difference? They're both kavua. In the sense of faith, they're both kavua from komo. But how do they part ways? Wait. You're saying the wrong word according to Tosfos. You're describing correctly, but I need the right word. I need the right term. You got it. 99% of the way. Rove, you got it. What's the difference? What is the demarcation between this and this? In this case, it's not just each iser is kavu, each piece is kavua. It's what? I know what's what. I know exactly what's kosher and exactly what's treif. I know that anything in this store is kosher, treif. My suffix is, I don't know which store I went into. But the iser mitan, the cheft of the iser, not just is the iser kavua b'm kavoy, but the iser is nikah b'm kavoy as well. And the Efa Tosa says, in order to meet the conditions necessary to pass get a din of kavua, it's not enough that it's stationary. It has to be stationary plus recognizable. When both of those two factors join together, al zenem of the halacha, but if the yisur is physically kavua, but it's not recognizable as such, that is just not kavua. You just missed one of the conditions necessary for kavua. That's Taisus' famous statement. So therefore, Taisus says we can breathe a sigh of relief. Says Taisus, therefore, every tarayves memarsha. If it's nikar b'mkoymai, so then it's not a what. If it's nikar b'mkoymai, then it's not our sugi. If it's nikar b'mkoymai, then it's not a tarayves. So we're not even talking about it. Every chad betray bottle, every application of rov and upas tarayves is presupposing that it's not nikar. If it's nikar, then the game's over long ago. The game didn't get started if it's nikar. So since every tarayves is always not nikar, whenever it's not nikar, it's missing the key characteristic, key condition, the prerequisite for kavua. And therefore, kavua is a non-starter in Hilchos Tarayves. That's the essence. According to Tosfos, the magic word that the friendship between the two sugyas is nikar versus eino nikar. However, that is not the only answer that's given. Everyone knows the other answer? Everyone saw the other answer? So the Rashba, the sixth of the Mamre Kabbalas, poses the same identical questions to us. Pim Taimer. Heche, the end of the law. Heche mashkechir in Issa Batal Barayv. Ha Issa Kavua. Ukemechza mechza domi. So the end of the line, the Rashba says. Bechol Issa Batal. Lo yamrinan Kavua. Ha Batal who? The Rashba says, no. It's not Kavua. You know why it's not Kavua? Because it's Batal. Does everyone understand that? What did the Rashba not say? And so Tosfos said. The Rashba didn't say boo, didn't say a word about being nikar versus not nikar. The Rashba says you can't ask the kasha of kol kavua because the issue is bottle. That's what prevents kavua. The bittul prevents kavua. What does that mean? What are the words mean, the bittul prevents kavua? So the Rashba is saying a totally different story. It's a Rashba, it's a Ran. A lot of Rishonim say the same thing. It's a legamri different vort from Tosfos. What the Rashba is saying is the following you say. Kavua means when I have a davar asur, and true, it's in the minority, but it's here, it's command the Isa. Nobody could say that this Caribbean store doesn't exist. It's got a big sign that says we sell Caribbean trade for media, but it doesn't exist. Of course it exists. So you can't just cross it off and say it's command Leisa. Now you have a latest asafek, which is derech kavua. If the piece of meat would have traveled from the store to the street, that's not kavua b'klal. That's pirish. That's hetogam. But you did it the wrong way. You went into the store, so now you have your candidate for kavua, and the iser is here. So when there's an iser that's present, and the latest asafek is derech kavua, that is the parish of kavua. But whenever you have a taravis, so what happens in a taravis, Rabosai? What's the key? What's the yisodis house? Chad betray botel. What's the key phrase when you have a tarobas? Who coined the key phrase of the entire sugya of Hilchas Bitl Barov? Who coined the phrase, everybody say? The Rosh. What was the Rosh's phrase? It's Kivanta Leisadami. It doesn't exist. It's not here. That's what a tarobas means. So we can't even begin to discuss, is there a problem of kavua now? Is there a problem? Hey, if you walk to the Tarevis, you're a Kavua Kebechza Bechter. What Mechzer? There's nothing here. Kol Kavua Kebechza Bechter, that means when there's an Isser here and there's a Hetter here, even though statistically you have more Hetter than Isser, no, Kavua from Kaimo, and it's a problem. But the Isser doesn't exist. If I have 10 stores, they're all kosher stores, so what kind of Kavua is that? That's a Kavua. So the Rashba says, Hilchas Tarevis, Hilchas Bittel Isurin, prevents kavua from mincha. That's the essential problem. It's the parish of bitl, because bitl works through the mechanism of this and epochli has there, the hahi gufa is what stops kavua from applying to hilchos taravis. As I state in Rashba.
Isn't nikur though that which makes it
command
leisa or
command isa? No, nikur is a different part of them.
Why, what about it is
command
Elisa in this case and
command Elisa
in the
group? Because it's Tarobas. In the first case, there's no Tarobas for the stores. So according to the Rashba, it's Hilchos Bittul Shabbat, because we subscribe to this Rosh Hashanah Torah that enables us to say this parasha, that this is not Kavua. According to Tosfos, it has nothing to do with Bittul, is not the engine that's driving the undermining of Kavua. According to the Rashba, it's the parasha Bittul Gufa that prevents Kavua from doing Kavua. At the end of the day, both Taisa and the Rashba end up in the same place. Everybody ends up at the same conclusion that Kavua doesn't bother me over here. Kavua does bother me over here. What is the line of demarcation between the two sugyas? According to the Rashba, according to Taisa, it's not the parish, it's not the halachic concept that the Rosh created for us that undermines Kavua. According to the Rosh, according to Tosfos, what undermines Kavua is that you're not like the case of Kavua. The Kavua has 100 different conditions that have to be met, and you didn't meet one of them. One of them is it's gotta be not Nikov. It's Nikov versus not Nikov. That's the condition. According to the Rashba, it's much different than that. According to the Rashba, it's the halachic institution of Bittul that is formulated in such a way as Issa Nepech Lios Heter, that by definition declares it's Kaman Deleisa. If it's Kaman Deleisa, what should I have to talk about Kavua? That's the difference between Taisa and the Rashba. So it's a different world. According to the Rashba, it's the Bittul Kaman Deleisa that ultimately is Oikia Kavua from being Chal. Which Rishon would have a lot of trouble explaining the difference between why Kavua plays out by stores and doesn't play out by Bittul? Which Risha would have a lot of trouble invoking the Rashba's principle? Which Risha would be very, very hard to invoke the Rashba's principle? It would be impossible. Because according to Tosfos Rid, a love of deraisa by Yavish Riyavish, what's the rule? Is there a rule called Issachaman de Leisa Dami? Is it Epach Leos Heter? There's no such thing, it's such an animal. So only Rishonim who support in theory this idea of Issachaman de Leos Heter are able to subscribe to the Rashba's understanding as to what ultimately undermines Kavua. Which also, of course, lends support to a theory that we had in two sugyas ago. What was that theory back in the Rashba's days? When we first saw the Machlokes, the Rosh, the Tosfos Rid, and we saw a lot of other Rishonim got stuck in the middle. Remember which Rishonim got stuck in the middle? We had Tosfos, we had Rashba. Why did they get stuck in the middle? Because they didn't say to the extreme that Tosfos Rid, you have courage for eating all the pieces, but they did say, you can't really eat all the pieces. You eat it all together or one after another, right? Different ways of getting stuck in the middle. So we weren't sure where to put all those Rishonim. Were they basically rush people with the chumras, or they basically tell us rib people? So we went to Ikvas to Pirmogon, and Gdol HaChron, who assumed that, remember, that's what I heard in 11th grade, right? That all the middle Rishonim, such as the Rashba, were really fundamentally who? Fundamentally rush people. This Rashba is bearing us out now. Because if the Rashba is a fundamental Tosas Rid person, then his beer of Bidduch Lamoisa obviously is not going to help to answer this Kavod dilemma. So again, this just supports a theory that we came up with 2 sugyas ago. We like to try to do that. Sometimes we support ourselves, sometimes we attack ourselves. We try to remember what we learned in the past. Okay, so we have this Kabbalistic Meridik, right? Meridik. Lo Pashut. Lo Pashut at all. Come to Bukhan, I went to Rabbi Khan. Okay, I didn't do Rabbi Khan a lot of yourself. I'll try to say that. Come to Bukhan and raise the red flag on this Rashba. Come to Bukhan and says, you always have to decide whether you're putting the chicken before the, how did the phrase go? Before the egg, before the chicken. According to the Rashba, what? Chill for the egg, I don't remember, something before something, okay? Rabbi said, according to the Rashba, I'm looking at 3 pieces of meat in a basket on the table, and I have contradictory cloam that I'm pulling at. On the one hand, this is, I'm walking over, imagine the drama right now, okay? Here's my 3 things. I'm walking over, so I am a candidate for what? I'm walking to the Dover Osir. What am I? I'm a kavua, man. I'm wearing that kavua hat. I got a mark on my face, kavua, big kuf on me. I'm about to violate kavua. On the other hand, there's something, a force emanating from these pieces of meat that's screaming out what? Bittul barayv! Bittul barayv! Bittul barayv! You can tense the... You can feel tension in the air. You can slice it with a knife. It's so palpable. That what is about to win? Is Kavua going to be Bittul? Is Bittul going to be Kavua? So what's up to Rashba? Bittul leads the pack. And what does Bittul say? I'm sorry, Bittul says, Acharam Lahatas, there's a rave here, and therefore the meat is Nepach Leos head there. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. What's about Kavua? That's how the Rashba plays it out. Kumtur Bachana with the following kasha. What is called Kavua Kibetza Metza Dummy be? What did the Torah just tell you in Kol Kavua Kibetza Metza Dummy? That the numbers are misleading. You thought you had a 2-to-1? You thought you had a 9-to-1? Sorry, that's not how we do math in Halacha. Whenever you have somebody that's Kavua Bim Komo, the numbers just don't add up. And there is no roof. If that's the case, so when I'm walking over to these 3 pieces of meat, and I'm about to violate Kavua by taking one of these pieces of meat, and the only thing that's stopping Kavua from taking effect is what? Is the fact that the meat is screaming out, saying, Ich bin Bottle Barov. What should the halacha say to those 3 pieces of meat? You guys don't know how to count. There's no rov on that table. That's a Kavua Bim Komo table. And when it's Kavua Bim Komo, there is no rov. And there's no rov, then what? That there's no bittul. Bittul only works when there's a rov. But there's no rov because Kavua says there's no rov. So if Kavua undermines the rov prevents it from being bittul. So you wanted to say that bittul is going to prevent Kavua, you're walking in circles. So bittul can't undermine Kavua because in the presence of Kavua, there's always bittul because there's no rov. That's Rabbi Chanan's kasha. Who had thought of that kasha? Who had thought of Rashba? When you saw the Rashba, you realized that the engine that's driving the anti-Kavua camp is Bittul Kamandalesa, Stop. Let kavua gufa undermine the bittul barov. According to Tosfos, this kasha doesn't get off the ground. Because according to Tosfos, what's the engine that's driving the lack of kavua here? What's missing according to Tosfos to invoke the passion of kavua? It's not nikar. If it's not nikar, there's no kavua. Right? That's Tosfos chal. That's kachrim halachosim. Don't say the kasha Tosfos. If it's not nikar, it's not kavua. So according to Tosfos, the bottom line is it nikar? On the table, there are three pieces of meat. Is it nikar? It's not nikar. If it's not nikar, then there's no kavua. Finished. So I can walk over, take a piece, and call it a day. So comes Rabbi Chanan and says, according to the Rash, as you say, that it's the engine that's driving the anti-kavua is the institution of Bittul, but Bittul's presupposing rov, and kavua means there's no rov. How do you get around that problem? How do you get around spending the rest of your life walking into this circle? What hakira do you have to invoke, as you say? Comes Rabbi Chanan and says, the hakira that you have to invoke is as follows. What's the nature of this din, the original kavua? Back to square one. The guy walks into one of the five stores, doesn't know which one, so we say, sorry, there's no rov, because kavua kemechza mechza dami. What is the nature of this statement, kol kavua kemechza mechza dami? Kavua equals safek. That's the principle in Hattayr of Arv lo kachlem rolocho, that kavua equals safek. But between you and me, it's not a suffix. The majority is 90% in my favor. So one can understand this in one of two ways. Either one can understand it that the Torah is telling you that you don't know how to count. You thought that it's 9-1, but in the Torah's counting, in the halachas way of counting, numbers are a little bit different. And whenever you have kavua, you don't have a rov. Rove doesn't exist. This is not called a rove. I bet the mathematician told me that I have a rove, because Barak told me I have a rove. What does Barak know about roves? If the rabbi says there's no rove, there's no rove. Come on. A little tired. Come on. 3 o'clock, you don't have a rove. So the nature of this din, kavua as a suffix, means that ois rove. It doesn't exist. Or no. No. What's the other side of the chakira? What's the rove exist? Is the rove there? What are you, a joke? I mean, the Torah Arav Lo is telling me how to count? I learned how to count when I was in nursery. Everybody knows. I count it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Gee, there are 9 kosher stores and 1 traitor stores. So, Rabbi, what do you mean I don't know how to count? I know how to count. So what does Kokavu Kabetz Abetzadami mean? If not for the Chiddush HaTorah, Acharei Mahatos, you're allowed to follow rove. Would we have Paskin Shalos based on rove? Based on logic, we would have said, you follow rove and call it a day? No. The Gemara says, B'noha Milsa, the other one is a rove. Rove is a Chiddush HaTorah. We don't pass in the majority rules. There's no such principle. Because the Torah is mechadish to us, the parish of rove. That gives us a right to drink milk. That gives us a right to pass in the Torah. That gives us a right to follow rove. Everything that we do in this world based on rove is a chazocha. We wouldn't have said this on our own. If not for the parish of the Torah, we would have been checking that tool every single day. It means the Torah is mechadish to us. There's rove, there's chazochas, there's erechas, there's shneidim. These are all dinei Torah. None of this we would have made up on our own. So the same Torah, the same Torah that gave us the Pash of Rov, the Rabban Shalom then comes and yanks it away from us and says, I gave you Rov. I gave you Rov. Hashem Mokach, he gave you Rov. But what did the Kodesh Baruch Hu say at the same time? If the Rov is presenting itself in a way of Kavua, you have what? You have no right to go after that Rov. I'm not giving you the heter to follow that Rov. That's not a rove that you're allowed to be mitziaches to. Does it mean it's not there? Does it mean we don't know how to count? Does it mean the numbers are there? Because the numbers are there. The numbers are there before kavua came along, the numbers are after kavua. It's a rove, but it's a kind of a rove that you're not allowed to be noyeg. So is the pshat in kavua, kemech tzvechta, means it's nishkin rove? That means the Torah is telling us that there are other ways of counting. Numbers are not are very deceiving. It's not a rove altogether. Or alpha p, that it's a rove. But ein pochenachol, you can't follow such a rov. That's the lomdishachay. Very, very dachas. I mean, a chakira in kavua has got to be really, really a lomdishachay. Everyone got the difference? So, is it a chisaron in the etzim? It's not called a majority anymore because we got the numbers. We misunderstood halachic numbers, or the numbers. The rov exists. We just can't do anything with it. No. That's the answer. But I say, how does it solve the Rashba's dilemma? What do you mean the Torah says you can't do anything with it? What do those words mean? You can't do anything with it? What does the Torah say you can't do with it? What can't you do with it? You can't invoke which principle? Hochel acharav. The Torah doesn't say you can't do anything with it. The Torah says you have no right to invoke the parasha of what? Of Hochen Acharov. Hochen Acharov is a Gevaldi Yechidish. If not for the parasha, I'd say the piece of meat that's found on the floor. If not for the parasha of Acharam Mahatos, I never would have been mahat that piece of meat. It's a Gevaldi Yechidish from the Rebbeinu Shabbachiram Mahatos. Toshua Peck explains there's a bit of Pirish Binaro called the Parish, Beruba Parish, a Gevaldi Yechidish at Torah. And the Torah yanks that bit away from us by saying, well, if it's Kavua, then you don't have a right to do that. If you hold that the nature of Kavuah Kesafek doesn't mean the robe doesn't exist, it just means it's a kind of robe that ain't Hochen Acharov, but the robe Yatzmusa was there, then who is now saved? The Rashba. Because what does the Rashba say? I had three pieces of meat on the table. Alright? Rabbi, do I have a robe or not? So I'm going to say, yes you do. How do I know you have a robe? Because I learned how to count the nursery. One, two, three, two of them are kosher, one there. You have a robe. But don't in a million years think that you could use that rove in a way of Hochen Acharov. You cannot use that rove. The Brashov was tying your hands, saying you're not allowed to rely on that rove. So what is the guy responding? I'm not going to rely on rove. I'm not going to have Hochen Acharov. I'm not going to be Hochen Acharov this rove. But what am I going to say? The rove exists. Once the rove exists, what do we say about the miut? Because it's Derech Taroves. When you have a miut with a rove, and it's derech taroves, what parasha kicks in now? Whose magic words come to the surface? Whose words are going to save the day? The Rosh's. I have a mute commandole sedami, it's an epiphil's hat. If I have a rove, I know I can't use the rove. I know I can't be holach. I don't want to be holach harov. I don't need to be holach harov. All I want is, Rabbi, let me use the rove just to quote the Rosh. That's all I need. All I want is the Rosh. I'm not asking for much. I don't want to be halakha this Rosh. I just want to quote the Rosh. Once I quote the Rosh, smile the rabbi. Once I quote the Rosh, what happens? The Issa becomes commander. Now, a minute later, when I want to walk over to this Taroves, and we want to say, no, you can't take from that Taroves, because you're being halakha Rosh, because it's Kavua. What does the fellow say? It's for Kavua. Where's the Kavua? Why is it not Kavua? In order for Kavua to happen, what do you need? You have to have a Dover also here. There is no Dover also here because Bibel is Kimanda Lesa. Because the Dover bottle doesn't exist. So I invoked Rove not to be Holech Acharov. I can't do that. That's a violation of Kavua. I invoked Rove in order to say that the Miut is Kimanda Lesa. Once the Miut is Kimanda Lesa, the Mela Kavua doesn't speak to me. The Mela will have to go ahead and take from this Taravis. That's what's happening here. So this lomdus of the Bechana, this only makes sense if you hold that when we say kavua is ksafek, that means ein hoch racharov. If you hold the other mahalach in the fakira, that the rove doesn't exist, that we did the math wrong. There is no rove here. If there's no rove here, then what? Who can I not invoke? Who can I not pull out of the hat? If there's no rove, then who's not going to help me? The Rosh is not going to help me because the Rosh only said it. Miut is commandable, but there's no miut. It's 50-50. So what I have to do is, says Rebbe Chanan, I have to say that the robe is still intact. Intact it is. Useless it's also. But I don't need it to become useful, to be holchachra. That's not my goal, that's my agenda. My agenda is just to keep that robe alive and well in order for me to say, miut is commandable, because it's derech taroves. Once miut is commandable, then you can no longer slap me with a kavua. Who would have said this on their own? Nervi Ayub is right. You gotta like sit and think about Rebbe Chanan for a long. Can't just hear it 5 minutes. But think about this.
I don't know if there's an
you can't feel anything about Kavua. This is just.
It sounds like we're there's a difference in the way that we present the Rashba versus Rebbe Chanan before we redefine Kavua and afterwards. In that before, it sounds like there's like Kavua versus.
But before Rebbe Chanan came along, I thought Kavua meant that there's no rove here.
But I'm saying that Rashi will pick rove to beat Kavua, and Rebbe Chanan will pick Kavua to beat rove. But afterwards, we're saying no, Kavua really beats rove. However, according to Rebbe Chanan, it's enough to knock it out. But according to Rashba, it'll still stand. Meaning, like they'll pick one.
No. We're using knock out. I would just say a very simple question: Everyone agrees you can't be hochach a rov by kavua. The question is, does that mean because it's a pidin, not a rov? Or, of course it's a rov. It's a rov that's not useful. That's the lam shechakira. Is it not a rov b'chlal? It's a rov that's not useful. So if you go down the route that it's a rov, but not useful, so then, in hochas tarovis, it's going to help me to create the model of the rush. And once I have the model of the rush, then I can't aser it outside of kavua. That's what rov. And Rav Chanan says, I bring you right, it has to be this way. It's got to be this way. You have to look at robe through this mahalach. If it's a robe, yeah, but just a chisor of an ochalach. I'll tell you why, says Rav Chanan. Listen to this kasha. Listen to this kasha. It's a bomb kasha. Classic Piresh. Okay? There's no suffix with story. He went to a piece of meat. Piece of meat is over there, okay? From one of these stores, I don't know. I'm not sure which one it came from. It's Pirish. Okay? All right? So what's the din? The question you're allowed to eat the meat. Why you're allowed to eat the meat? Because the robe is, probably came from one of those stores. Forget the meat for a second. Just look at the stores. I'm not talking about the Devar Parish yet. Just from the vantage point of the stores. Is there a robe of kosher stores? When I walk down West Angle Avenue, is there a robe of kosher stores? What's the answer?
Sure.
No. You know why? Because the stores are what? Kavum Komum. I'm not talking about meat on the floor yet. I'm walking down the street and I'm doing a study on, I'm writing an article for the Jewish Link about the numbers of kosher stores in Bergen County. So I write the following statement in an article. There are a majority of kosher stores on West Angle Avenue. If somebody catches me, they'll say, you're wrong, Rabbi. You're wrong, writer. You're wrong, journalist. Why? There is not a majority of kosher stores on West Angle Avenue. You know why? Because all the stores are what? They're all kavuah. They're not moving. They're not kosher wagons running around with food. They're not. Each store is kavuah and gomo. And kavuah means kemech tzawah. So if you want to know how many, what's the ratio of kosher to non-kosher stores on West Angle Avenue, you know what the answer is? The exact right amount. Equal amount of stores. I, Rabbi, there are 45 stores on the RCBC and there's one Caribbean store. No, called Kavuah Kevech Tzawah Sadam. So from the vantage point of the stores, what is it? There's no rov. Right? If you're not zeroing in on the piece of meat on the floor, just counting up stores. Before the shot even happened, for the last 20 years, when people ask me, what's the ratio of kosher and non-kosher stores in West Bengal, the answer is 50-50. Who sees this kasha coming down? Who sees the bomb kasha coming down? After I wrote the article 100 times over, the ratio is 50-50, 50-50, 50-50. That's kokamua, 50-50. A guy walks in the street, and he finds a piece of meat on the floor. And he comes to a rabbi, can I eat the meat? What does the rabbi say? You can eat the meat, you know why? Because it probably came from what? From a kosher, because after all, the majority of stores are kosher. What does this guy do? He says, wait, rabbi, how can you say that? You wrote the article last week that says that the ratio of stores is 50-50. How can any case of Piresh ever be true if every case of Piresh is presupposing that there's a rove? But kavuah inhibits me from saying such a rov. So you back every case of pirish is automatically not pirish but a rov. Because in order for the pirish to be true, it has to be pirish from something, but there never was a rov, because no kavuah declares that there's no rov. Who likes this kasha? This is a famous kasha, bomb kasha. No, what's the answer to this kasha? Kuf Tavachonim says that if you would have held that kavua means there's no rov, then I would have had to write the article saying the ratio of stores is 50-50 and pirish would make absolutely no sense. But says Tavachonim, we all know that we know how to add. We know there are 90% of kosher stores. Elawat, what's the chisaron in kavua? Kavua means that you have no right to be noyeg. The rov, you can't apply the rov lamatir by invoking a hochenach harov. Rabbi, I'm on a hochenach harov right now. I just want to know for the article, for the truth of the article, tell me, is it 90-10 or is it 50-50? So the answer is, well, if Kavua teaches me that it's not a rove, then it's 50-50. But if Kavua teaches me, of course it's a rove, which is et hokalach harav, so I know in the back of my mind that it's 90-10. So I'm not allowed to be noyeg, the din of rove, when I'm going to Mom Kavua. But guess what? I didn't go to Mom Kavua. What happened? The Kavua came to me. The meat came to me. Once it's Piresh, so then this Ein Hochanach Harav doesn't exist anymore. Because I'm not going to it. It came to me. That's not the Chiddush of Kavua. So once it came to me, I know full well where it came from. I know it came from 9 out of 10 stores of kosher. That's not a violation of Kavua. And don't tell me a Bubba Mai said there's no rov. Of course there's a rov. I know how to count. So says Rav Chanan, the very institution of Piresh, for the fact that in the same breath you can say there's a bit of Kavua and there's a bit of Piresh, every Piresh is presupposing that the rov exists. Of course the rov exists. Nobody ever said the rov doesn't exist. The fact that the rov exists, it's just it's a rov that's not usable. It's not a user-friendly rov, but it exists. So it's Muchach Minei Bei that rov doesn't not exist. Of course rov exists. Since rov exists, who's in good shape? Who's in good position now? The Rashi. Now the Rashi Shul Torah makes sense. So it's mucha from the etzem institution of Kavua and Piresh that the Yisrael of the Chakira must be rov exists and Hilch and Acharov. Therefore, but I'm not being Hilch Acharov. Either I'm not being Hilch Acharov because it's a Piresh, or I'm not being Hilch Acharov because it's Bakal Beroi. As long as I'm not being Hilch Acharov, I'm good to go. Who was the one who was Mechadish this whole Shul Torah? Anyone ran in the Rebbe Chanan? Listen to who this is quoted in the name of. Okay? It's quoted from V'tiretz Li to these kashas. Habokhar ha-choref v'shonun. He's a young boy, very sharp, choref v'shonun. Ma'arid of Smichi, that is my called him Master Bar. Moshe ben Rav Agoyen of Chaim Halevi Soloveitchik. We know for a fact this was written after 1917. Because Chaim died in 1917, he refers to Vizal. So I don't know when the Teretz was. I know it was written then. I don't know when the Teretz was said. But he heard this says from Moshe Soloveitchik, and then at the end he says, "V'lazeh hiskim over Rav Agoyen Vizal." The Rav Chaim agreed to this. Rav Chaim is masked to Shtichot Torah from Moshe Soloveitchik. As a Rav's father. So I'm not a buck in every coach room. It's the only place I remember that Rav Chanan quotes from Moshe Soloveitchik heard the Shtichot Torah, that to explain this beer and what Kavua is all about. So this Lom de Shavuot from Moshe Soloveitchik explains why every Pirish does not run the problem of Kavua, and also helps for our purposes why the Rashi was still able to say what he says, that the Bittul, the commander lace, is the engine that's driving a Bittul Barov. So in all the dust cells are going to say, all Rishonim agree that whenever you have the Tarov is Chad Betray, don't bother with the Kavua. Why don't bother with the Kavua? Either don't bother with the Kavua because of Taisus, because it's not Nika, and that's one of the conditions of Kavua. Or because the bittul is the engine that's going to create the Russia's mind with Commander Lisa, which in turn is going to prevent Kavua from happening. This game, we didn't start Kavua yet. This is just mamash. This is like the background in the background, just to get our feet wet into the Suya of Kavua. Hopefully that's from tomorrow. So we'll try to take this to the next level in terms of understanding what is and what's not going on in the Suya of Kavua. Okay, stop it. Maybe we'll dive in here. So that's 229. Guys, got to get ahead of the mamash on this case. Got to get moving.